We haven't had Testimony Sunday in a while, right? So this is good. This is great. Good. So if you have something to share, prepare yourself. You can come sit up at the front here with me. So just a couple little things about Testimony Sunday or testimonies. We have our ABCs. What's the A? Anybody remember what the A is? Well, that's the C. No, somebody else said it is about you. It's not about your buddy or your uncle in Kalamazoo. Although we're glad that God may be doing something in your uncle in Kalamazoo. Anybody know where Kalamazoo is? What state? Michigan. That's very good. Very good. Okay. Wow. People know their geography. So that's A, about you, your testimony, that is. What's the B? Brief, correct? Why do we want to brief? Just so more people have a chance to share something. And then C, Monica, Christ-centered C. There you go. Yes. It's about Jesus and not about, I don't know what to say. Not about, Jesus, right? What Jesus is doing in your life. So, having said about the brief part, we also said a while ago, and this stands, if you feel you've got like a testimony you want to share, we'd like to hear about it ahead of time, and then we can maybe fit it in another service. So we have a testimony from Maureen that she approached us. So we are giving her more time for her testimony. She's got 40 minutes. No, I'm kidding. She doesn't have 40 minutes. Yeah, so about 10 minutes. And then afterwards, Trish has a testimony. She's going to come up afterwards. So let's just pray one more time. And then I don't see Maureen. Maureen, where? Oh, there you are. Yeah, I didn't see you. So I'll just pray and then you come on up, Maureen. Lord, we do want to give you thanks for the work that you have done and are doing in our lives. And Lord, we know that sometimes we have a testimony with a sense of completion of something amazing you've done. And sometimes we're in the middle of the story. And regardless of where we are in our stories and what you're doing, we know you're faithful and that you're good. And so, Lord, just this morning as we hear from people, may we again see your goodness and your faithfulness and your sustaining power at times in the midst of difficulty and uncertainty, that you are with us. And may we get a little glimpse of you this morning in how you're working in other people's lives, we pray in your name. Amen.
Name above all names, you are worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God. Praise the Lord. My name is Maureen. This is my church, and I serve in the children's ministry. I want to read something from Psalm 34, verse 1 to 10, but I'll read just 3 verses. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Verse 4 says that I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Verse 10. Says that the young lion lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack anything good. Amen. So 2025 was a challenging year, but in the midst of the challenges, God proved his faithful love to us again and again. So I am on a close work permit. What that means is that I am able to work for just one employer and I cannot work for any other. And sometime in 2025, my work permit was expiring and my contract was also expiring. So my employers had a conversation with me and they said that they will renew my contract on 2 conditions. The first one was from full-time to part-time, and the second condition was that I needed to get my own car for work. So from full-time to work, part-time, it meant that, you know, of course, income will reduce. And now I have to get my own car. And that was kind of tough for me. Even though I knew I needed a car from before, but I had always shelved that idea because of the cost that it comes with. And also here in Vancouver, transport is reliable. So I've always gone with that. But this time I knew the time had come and I had no choice. So I told God that, God, we don't have a choice. You know, we don't have a choice here. And I had always prayed that, you know, if I would have a car, you would have to provide and also cater for the cost that comes with it. So I told my boss, who is also a Christian, that I have been praying to God that God grants me a car and also kind of help me with the expenses. So this decision, three things came to mind for me as I walked to my own office. I was thinking about how I was going to meet my financial obligations to the kids that we support back home. And secondly, my apartment. Even though comparatively to some apartment in Vancouver, it's relatively cheaper, but also with my reduced income, it was going to be difficult to maintain that. So I asked God that he should just help me. I needed a new place, kind of a community setting where I can get to pay lesser, and also the car. As I walked to my office from my director's office, about 20 minutes walk, yeah, I was just praying and singing and just trusting God for all that must come together. Immediately I got to the office, I had a text message from one of my friends. And the text message read, I know that you and Benedict are supporting a family back home. And I was wondering if my husband and I can contribute some money for you to take care of those kids. Hallelujah. And I was kind of dumbfounded and in shock, because that was a concern. That was one of the reasons. It was one of the concerns when I was leaving my boss's office. And when I got to my office, I had this text message. So my friend, I shared with my friend how providential that was and gave him a background to what had happened, like 20 minutes ago from my boss's office, the conversation that we had. So my friend paid like a whole year worth of support for these kids. She transferred money for a whole year to cater for this kid. And that was something that, you know, it could only be God. And I also shared with my friend my need to get a car for my workplace and probably also change my living arrangement. My friend was praying with me, and I had communicated this to a couple of my friends. And weeks down the line, I had a call from one of my friends who was like, yeah, hey, I had two cars. One was with a friend, and the friend is returning the car. I want to give that car to you. Praise the Lord. And it was really a surprise to me, and also it brought so much tears, and I was in shock because I had been talking to God about the need for this, and God, through someone, provided that. So I called my friend, and I told her that, you know what, someone just gifted me a car, and my friend was like, hey, I'm going to help you pay for the insurance. So the car came. It was catered for in terms of insurance. And I thank God he gave me the grace to kind of be confident on the road, because I've had an accident before and been traumatized with all that. But thanks be to God, he made that provision. and he granted me the courage to drive again. And now, with accommodation, I had called Daniel and Kwame to tell them that, hey, I need a place. I need to give my place up temporarily. And immediately they were like, where are you going? I said, I'm going to find a place in a community living, a community setting to be. I don't know yet, but I'm trusting God for that. So they told me, as at that time I had that conversation with them, that 2 days prior to that day, their third housemate, they are three boys in a basement suite, their third housemate has informed them that he will be moving out. So that spot will become available. And so I was like, okay, I am interested in it. And I had my fears because their home, ever since that community house was set up, they've not had a lady lived in that house. So I was like, okay, God, if you are making a way, we will break some protocols here. So they went to have a conversation with their landlady and their landlord, and it was like kind of a pushback. They wanted to know more about this lady who is coming into this space. So they gave a background to Maureen, and it happened that they knew me from some friends who were at Regent College. So they gave me reference as well, and it was just a warm welcome into that space. And I give God the praise and glory because Daniel and Kwame are brothers to me. If they are not in their home, they are always in my apartment. So it's like, and I've known Daniel for like over 15 years, and Kwame was my high school mate. So it's like brothers and sisters living together, family living together. So I give praise to God for how he came through for me, granting resources to cater for the kids that we are supporting, providing a car, not just that, paying for the insurance as well, and also granting me a space, a community, in a community setting, living with my brothers now. And I praise him for this. I don't know what brought into what you came into 2026 with, and I don't know what you will face. But I want to encourage you. Psalm 139 verse 4 says that even before a word is on our lips, the Lord knows. And so God knows us intimately, and he is with us. The God of Jacob is with us. So let's keep trusting, let's keep believing, and our God, who is our refuge and our strength, will come through for us through the difficult moments. Amen.
The Maureen is, was the place clean when you moved in? The boys?
Yeah.
It was, really? Oh, okay. All right. Maureen, I just asked Maureen if she could pray for, maybe some of you are in a place looking for provision, so she's going to pray for you all, so go ahead.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much today because you are a faithful God. Lord, I pray for the needs in this room. Whoever is looking up to you, Father, I pray that you will meet people where they are at. Jehovah Jireh is your name. You are our provider. And so, Lord, as you have provided for me, I have witnessed, I have seen your faithfulness, and you are able to do same far above what we could ever think of or imagine. So I pray, Lord, that you will make a way. There is nothing too hard for you. Nothing is impossible for you. So Lord, I pray that the doors that are shut, you will open them up and you will make provision. Your provision will be available to everyone needing your help. I give you praise and I give you thanks that you have done this in the holy name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Trish, come on up.
Good morning, church. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Trish. I've been going to this church in its various iterations, for 19 years. And those of you who do know me know I've been on a journey since 2021. God put an inkling of an idea in my heart to start thinking about Korea and learning about Korea and falling in love with Korea and visiting Korea and wanting to go there to live and teach and do ministry there. And so I received an email from a school on Thursday offering me a position to go and teach in Korea. So, very exciting. It's happening faster than I thought. Lots of things to get done, lots of things to get rid of from my apartment, pack up. So I also need to rehome my cat. So if you know of anyone who would like to take him in, let me know. That's it. Praise God. Oh, one more thing. Sorry. I just wanted to thank everybody who was with me on that journey. There was much prayer, discernment, and trying to figure out, is this God? Is this what God wants? Where does God want me to go? And, oh, yeah, it's in Seoul. So.
Yeah. It's been a long journey. It's been a long journey. So I guess your tenure here is going to end at about 19 years then, right? So, wow, that's a long time. And I'm sure there's lots of logistics and things to figure out. So if you would like to stretch out your hand, let's pray for Trish. And let's give thanks, too. Yeah, Lord. Lord, you put something in Trish's heart that obviously was from you, Lord. And, Lord, we want to thank you, God, that you gave her strength to persevere. And there's obviously there were times where it's like, what's happening? Why is it taking so long? And so, Lord, we believe you. Your timing is perfect. And we thank you, Lord, for your sustaining grace through the process for Trish, making these plans, learning the language. And so, Lord, in the next month or so, when she needs to head over there, Lord, we pray for your grace to be upon her as she shared around for the cat, Lord. We pray, Lord, provision for a home, but also all the logistics of packing and all of that. Lord, may your grace be upon her and continue to prepare in her heart as she gets ready to go to a new culture and many changes. Lord, we know you have been preparing her, but we also know that when she gets there, it'll still be adjustments. So we ask for your grace to be upon her. And we give you thanks, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless her in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And thanks for sharing, Trish. Come on up, Anna.
Hi, everyone. My name is Anna. I'm a member at Redemption, and I also don't like public speaking, so this is definitely God prompting me to share with you all. Earlier this year in June, after some prayer and discernment, my husband and I decided I should resign from my job where I had been for about 4 years. It felt a little bit courageous and a little bit crazy, but we were confident that that was where he was leading me to go, and to take some time off to rest and then start the job search again. So I have been job searching for about 6 months now. And I was starting to get a little impatient and a little bit anxious as well, because we have bills and a family. And I was like, okay, God, you wanted me to do this thing. I did it. And now what's coming next? And God has really been working in my heart to bring me patience and peace. After I had my daughter last year, I was the organization I was working for is a U.S. organization, so I didn't get to take the full year of maternity leave. I only was allowed to take 6 months off. And then in December, when I was praying and feeling a lot of like pressure and anxiety about needing to find work, God kind of brought me to a reflection on the fact that I had missed 6 months of my maternity leave, and I had been gifted 6 months at home with my daughter during the time that I've been searching for work. And that felt like a reminder of how God sees what's on your heart and knows what your desires are. And I'm so thankful that I have had that time at home. And I just wanted to encourage anyone who's in the middle of something that you're waiting for God to provide for, that he is faithful. He knows exactly what we need, kind of what Maureen was encouraging us. So maybe this is a theme for the day, because I'm still job searching, but I have a lot of hope in the new year that God knows what I need and he'll provide the right place and position for me. So, yeah, and I did pray earlier last year that God would help me to learn to be more patient. And I know it's a dangerous prayer to pray, so this is definitely part of that process. But, yeah, I just wanted to share where I'm at and what God's been doing in me over the past 6 months.
You're right, that is a dangerous prayer. I pray for patience, too, for myself. And I have to admit, I kind of fail quite a bit. So it's still a process sometimes, right? So, but thank you for sharing. And let's pray that we trust that God's timing is perfect, right? Like Trish, this has been a while that Trish has been looking to go. And it's like, what's happening? And God opened the door. So let's pray the same for Anna. And thank the Lord for the gift of time with her daughter as well. So if you'd like to stretch out your hand, feel free. Lord, we want to thank you so much for Anna and her family and the blessing that they are to this church. And we thank you for bringing them here to Vancouver. We thank you, Lord, how you have provided and how you are providing and you will continue to provide. And so, Lord, we do continue to pray for that gift of patience. And thank you for the time that Anna has been able to have with her family. And, Lord, we trust you to open up the door at the right time. And we look to you, and we stand together with Anna and her family in the midst of the waiting. And so we bless that waiting time and the things that you teach us in that time. And help Anna and help us, Lord, to continue to learn to trust you in all things, we pray in your name. Amen. Thanks for sharing. Thank you. Sylvia, come on up.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Yeah, my voice is not good today, but I had to give this testimony. So I'm going to be brief, Chris, although there are so many things since I gave a testimony. So I'm just going to be hitting them like bullets. So, yeah, I want to first of all thank God for our marriage. I met Moses, now it's coming to 16 years. He's not feeling well, so he was like, I will stay. It's coming to 16 years this January since I met him when I was 18. But the Lord has seen us through a lot, and through our children, through our losses. He lost all his parents, both his parents. I lost my dad last year, and we've been very strong. There are some of the things that we just take for granted, but being together for a long time, okay, to me, 16 years is long, but there are people here that have stayed for 50 years. I love talking to Tim and the wife, so they've stayed so much longer, 50 years. So I really thank God for that. And it's not an easy journey for those that are married, you know it. You have those tribulations coming, losses and so on, but we've remained strong. And thank you for Moses. He's a good person. I really thank God for him, that he makes very wise decisions for our family. I want to thank God for our housing that we got at UBC. I was a student for 4 years at UBC, and I applied for UBC housing, which is also really good for the students, but I couldn't get in for 2 years. So when I got an offer to work at UBC as a researcher, I was like, can we apply? But it's also going to take 2 to 3 years, and maybe my contract will be done at UBC, so why do we apply? But Moses again told me, no, just apply anyway. There's no cost to an application or something. Just put in your application. And within 2 months, we were granted a staff housing at UBC, which was really amazing to us that we came close to work. And after that, Moses was also applying for another part-time job. Moses was also hired at UBC. So it has really been amazing to see both of us working at UBC and also being sustained at UBC. The other thing I want to talk about is, because I'm, you know, the time, Paul is here waiting, is I was doing my studies all along. I've only been involved with university teaching and all that, but I had never done a management job. So I was reached to at by my faculty, and they told me, we know you are a research associate, but then we also want something more for you. I was like, what's that something more for you? I've been at UBC for almost now 6 years. They told me last year that if you can you be a research manager of here? I was like, I have never done that. I came to Moses, I told him, Moses, I have never done this. I'm used to doing my research, produce a paper and go, and maybe teach students in a class and go away, but I have never managed people. So, and it's not easy to manage people. I can manage my science, my research, but not people. It's too difficult for me. So Moses told me, how about you try? If it doesn't go through, then we can see, but also let's pray. So we prayed, and we believed that the Lord answered us through a dream, and I took it up, being able to supervise very many people, young people. Holy, you know how it is to supervise young people, 20, 21, 22, and also being able to do interviews and hire and manage and go through all that has been really a grateful thing to me to learn. I've been only learning how to do it. But with the grace of God, sometimes I've been coming back very stressed and asking myself, what do I do? And then we always remember that as a family, we always pray and God answers us. So it has not been easy. I want to share this story that at one time I was hiring and I advertised the job through our UBC internal careers, and then I got these very good applications. One of them was my best friend, like around here is my really a good friend. I was like, yeah, I have applied. Then I remembered all the equity training I went through. You guys know, if it's not the best candidate, you don't take them. And it didn't feel right for me because I didn't hire that person because, of course, they were not the best for the position. But it turned out to be like I was learning through the situation because they were not happy that I didn't hire them. So a lot has been going on in management. Those of you that know how to manage, you're really great people, and I admire some of you. Apart from that, I want to share about my dad's loss as the last testimony. It's not a testimony that I lost my dad last year, but I want to thank God that he was able to sustain us with dad being sick for a long time. It reached at a time whereby they were asking for around 1,500, like Canadian dollars equivalents in Uganda, to have him live for a day. And yeah, some of us that are coming from Africa, you know that most of the things, if you need good medical care, you have to pay for it. Especially when your parent or your loved one is in intensive care, they pay it per day. So each day at that time when dad got very sick, he was transferred to a unit whereby each day we had to pay that amount per day. And the phones would always come in, we need money. It was so tough that he had to spend 2 weeks on that bed. But what gave us hope was that me and my siblings and the whole family was that at one time, our dad, when he was living with us, fell off the grace of God. He left being born again as a Christian, although he raised us as being born again. He went totally off, and always we were praying on our knees, Lord, bring back the dad that we knew. When we were growing up, he's the one that introduced us to this faith. We grew up in church since when we were little, like the way our little children are here. So why is this happening? So when I was in high school, he completely went off the grace of God. He began a lot of drinking. He was introduced to very many things, and he didn't be the person that I knew. And also, like the marriage with my mom was so much in hard times at that moment. So when he got sick, I remember I traveled to Uganda and told him, Dad, I think this is the time to change, you know. I know you're a very good person and you can change. He told me, yeah, I will change. And I left. I came back here. And then my sister, who is a medical doctor, she has this gift which I don't have, or our siblings don't have, of calming down people and talking them through something. So she continuously kept on traveling to Dad and telling him, I think this is the time, before Dad became so critically ill, and preaching to him again to go back to the grace of God. But Dad said, I don't think I'll go back to what you're telling me. So my sister would call me every time and said, it is not working out still. But in those 2 weeks when he got sick, he was in coma, he couldn't understand. I was praying and asking God for a last chance. I asked God for the last chance. I wanted my dad to live up to 70. He only died when he was 66. So I was like, God, give us at least 4 years. I brought out all those scriptures of you added more years to this person in the Bible, but things didn't work. And I told him, okay, Lord, take the wheel. So my children have always asked me why I love this song. Jesus, take the wheel, take it from my hands, because I can do this on my own. I'm letting go, give me one more chance, save me from this road I'm on. I sang that song every day for my dad. But the chance he gave us was really amazing. I shared with Pastor Daniel and Andrew and some of you here. My sister went again to dad and began staying with him. In those last moments, he came back from coma and he said, oh, all of you are here. Wow, that's good. And then my sister said, oh, can you now understand? Because she's a medic, she understands. Then she realized that now my dad was back into the senses, could identify the people around. And then she preached to my dad. My dad accepted Jesus Christ as his savior. 5 days after that, dad passed. So I'm really thankful that dad died after accepting Jesus again and believing God. It wasn't easy. And I also want to thank God for being able to take her through the grieving time. My dad, I would just call him and he would say, I have got you, my girl, but now only Moses has got me and God and you people. So those of you that know how it is to lose a parent, it has not been easy. Sometimes you're taking a bath and you remember you don't have a dad, or when you're alone, you remember you don't have a dad. But I believe that the Lord has sustained me through and I've been able to move on with life. Thank you so much.
Let's just give thanks and pray for Sylvia and her family. Lord, we want to give you thanks, Jesus, for this wonderful family and how you have been providing. And also, Lord, just the faithfulness in praying for her dad and not giving up, Lord. And may, for those of us who have people we're praying for, Lord, grant us that perseverance, Jesus, and continue to bless them and rest upon them. Lord, we pray that you would continue to help her to do this management job. You know, grant her the grace to continue to walk in that space if that's where you want her to continue. We pray in your name. Amen. Amen. All right, we'll have Paul share, and then Jaden and Julia, and then we'll move on to communion. All right, come on up, Paul.
Thanks. Hi. Hi. Yeah, so, okay. About you, brief, Christ-centered. Very good. That will be good. I'm just so thankful to be part of this church. It's been such a good place for me to live and grow and be formed into the image of Christ. So thank you. I'm in ministry, and last year was my first year, so September 2024, began my first year as campus lead at UCM at UBC, and I was excited. I also didn't know what I was doing, and actually, like, a lot of things came up that year. It was very trying. It was trying for me. I had things to learn and things to clean up, and there was also other things in the ministry beyond me that were happening. I was like, what is going on? And as I've reflected on this theologically, I've realized, like, Jesus, after he, you know, began after his baptism, he went into the desert to be tempted for 40 days, you know? And David, after he became king, was in hiding from Saul, who was chasing him down all the time. Moses was, you know, he left Egypt and was a shepherd for a long time. Israel left Egypt, and then they're in the desert 40 years, and they went through such pain and hardship and trials, and they failed in so many ways. And the one person who was perfect through all that was Jesus, you know. And I was like, okay, wow. So, like, actually, this is pretty consistent with the tradition of Scripture, to have this kind of period in time, you know? And I've been reflecting on that. And I think last time I shared about a couple of days I spent at the Westminster Abbey in Mission, and God spoke to me and said, this will be a turning point for you. And like that's been so true. That's been so true, because like this past semester was just such a different story for everything in the ministry. I feel like everyone knows what we're there to, like, love Jesus. We're there to serve Jesus. We're there to transform people into people who know how to follow Jesus. Like, I serve in ministry so that students can learn how to, like, be on mission with God. And they can take on these practices and disciplines of being a missionary so that after they graduate, they can transform the world. You know, then like we're there, we're serving Jesus, and this is what unites us. This is what binds us together, and there's peace, and there's joy, and there's hope, and there's, you know, fellowship. And so what can I say that, like, God has just been so faithful, and he's transformed me in ways that I'm so grateful. Like, I'm so much more pure and free from sin now. And I'm so grateful to, like, still be in ministry even after a desert season, not because I'm good enough, but because Jesus was faithful to me and to us, you know. And so yeah, it's cool, it's great. We have like 50 students signed up to go to Emerge in a couple weeks, and we're usually like, that's way bigger than Norma at this point. Most people sign up super last minute, so really excited. And yeah, we're going to go to Guatemala with a team of 12 or 10 students in May. And I'm going to graduate with my Master of Divinity in May from Regent College. And yeah, I'm thinking I'll stick around for at least 2 more years and just focus on UCM instead of being split between school and ministry. And this is Christ-centered, because like I've seen how Christ has been so faithful to me and to us in this ministry, and like his redemption, his transformation is so, so sweet. It's so good. There's so much that like I would never have without him, you know? And I have so much I want to learn. There's so many books I want to read. There's so many, it's so cool, you know? So praise God. Just wanted to give you that update and to thank you again for like being a church that is involved in supporting our mission, our ministry, but also to support me, to pray for me, to know me and Tim, you know, who's really important for what we do. And yeah, thank you. Thank you guys. Praise God.
Actually, Tim, can you come up? Come up. Let's just take a moment to pray for UCM. So Tim is also on staff there, and so it's a new year. So Emerge is the retreat they'll be doing in a couple weeks with all the other UCM campuses. So, you know, a couple hundred students probably out in the
216 signed up right now.
Okay, wow. Yeah. Out in the valley, out in Hope area, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Stillwood.
Stillwood, Camp Stillwood. And are you guys going to be doing Alpha as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Course,
so, yeah. All right. So, Alpha. So, let's take a moment to pray. You want to come on? I'm gonna pray for you guys. Yeah. It's one of our. I worked for them too, so I'm biased. I love these guys. So, yeah. Thank you, Lord. We want to thank you, Lord, for this ministry, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for a new year, and Lord, we do pray for continued blessing upon them. We pray, Lord, for the retreat coming up in a couple weeks, Jesus. That. Lord, we pray that you would really touch the lives of these students, Lord, that maybe some are coming out that they don't really know where they are in their faith with you, that, Lord, that you would come, Holy Spirit, touch those students. We just pray, God, that you would come to that campus, Lord, with a visitation of your Holy Spirit. Lord, there's such a need, Lord Jesus. Thousands of students coming from all over the world. And so, God, bless UBC, we pray. Bless, Lord, UCM and all the other ministries there, InterVarsity, Empower to Change, Lord, Navigators, Every Nation, Lord, all these different groups and the churches on campus. Lord, we pray that you would bless as they work together, the different campus ministries to run Alpha, that Jesus, it would be a moment in time, Lord, that people would come to faith, Lord. And so we pray for your blessing to rest upon Tim and Paul and the rest of the staff at UCM to help guide and lead these young students to follow you, Jesus, that these young students would turn their eyes to you, we pray. In your name, amen. Bless you guys. Yeah. All right. Jaden and Julie, come on up.
Hello, my name is Julia, and this is my husband, Jaden. He's here for my emotional support and also to share the testimony if I cry. Anyway, Jaden and I have been attending this church since 2021, which is our first year of university. We've been, like, incredibly blessed along the way and just seeing, like, God work through both of our lives. This testimony is about me and my family, but Jane's my family now, so he's here too. In 2021, we moved here for school and away from family, which was our first time, like, you know, moving away. And that same year, my mom was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. And she was 50 at the time, and so pretty young. It was very, like, heartbreaking for our family. My sister and my brother were living in Vancouver at the time, and we had just moved away for school, and so my dad was alone with his wife with this new diagnosis. And so things, like, uprooted very quickly for my family. My dad decided to move to Vancouver to be with my mom's brother and his family. So in November, they just, like, packed up the house that I had grown up in. I was born in there, and moved, which was very uprooting for me because I had never moved, that was, like, my family home. And throughout that whole time of, like, 2021 to honestly until, like, a few months ago, I was like, God, like, why is this happening? Why is this, like, you know, like, to my mom, she's so young, and, and honestly, in, like, other testimony Sundays, I, like, thought about, like, coming up to share, but I was like, what do I have to share? I don't know what God's plan is. I don't see any hope. I don't see any purpose in why this happened. But since then, so my mom was, she was, like, the glue in our family. She was the one who was very involved in our community and in our family. But now she is not working. She's mostly at home. But since then, my sister and her husband and my brother made the choice to move to our hometown to help support my dad, because my dad had been in Vancouver. He's like, this is so isolating. This doesn't have the supports that my mom needs. So they actually moved back to Terrace, which I'm from Terrace, BC. So they moved back to Terrace. And then my sister and my brother and her husband, they also moved back to Terrace, and that was 2 years ago now. Jaden was accepted to medical school. I was accepted to nursing school this year. And we were able to get married this summer. And I just, like, see through all of, like, this pain and suffering, God has really brought my family together. And so my sister and my brother was, like, living far away from Christ. And he was, like, basically a hermit. But now he's coming to church. He is stepped up, and, like, he's helping my dad a lot. And my sister is there. She's supporting my mom. And now we're on track to go back in a year and a half and also be there for my family. And we, like, saw God's vision for us in our life and our family and my family when we were back during this Christmas break. And we just, like, see through all this pain, like, God's blessings to my family and, like, how it just brought us all together. And so, yeah, that's my testimony. If anything to add.
Can we pray for you? Yeah. Don't even know how to pray, really. But the scripture that came to mind was, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. That we know that the Lord is with us in all circumstances, even though the circumstances are not always good circumstances, and we don't understand how and why these things happen all the time, but that God is with us. And so, let's just pray for you guys. Yeah. Lord, we don't always know how to pray, but we know you're good, Lord. And we pray for Jaden and Julia, and specifically her mom. And we pray that your presence would be just so strong with her that she would just have a revelations of the goodness of you, Lord, and that you're with them, that you're with their family. And we thank you, Lord, the work that you're doing in her family. And Lord, we pray that this season would be a continued season of drawing close to you, Jesus. We also know, Lord Jesus, that you are still in the business of healing, Lord, that this is not a thing for the past, Lord, but you are still healing. And so, Lord, even now, may your healing power be released upon her. We pray that you would come to her, Lord Jesus. Bring your healing, Lord. And in the midst of the waiting, just continue to be with him, we pray in your name. Amen. You guys, thanks for sharing. Thanks for the Kleenex, Jaden. We're going to move in a moment to communion. Sorry, a little bit of a mess up here. It's okay though, right? During a pre-service prayer, I felt like I had a word for an individual in here. Not that I'm going to call that individual out. So I don't know if this is accurate, but it's felt like I'm just going to go with this. And if it's for you, then you know, if you want to come up for prayer after or during the ministry time, then feel free. I had this impression that somebody this morning would be coming in that really felt like, I'm just at the end. I'm going to give up. And God, if you don't do something for me this morning, that's it. I'm done. I'm done with following you. I don't even know. Maybe even thinking of checking out. And the scripture that came to mind was Luke 18:1. I'll just read that one verse. It leads into a parable, but it says, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." And so if that's you this morning, I believe that this is God reaching out to you right now and saying, don't give up. The Lord is with you. The Lord will sustain you. And don't give up. And reach out to somebody you trust, or if you don't feel like you necessarily have somebody you can speak to that you know here, talk to one of the elders, or when Pastor Daniel's back. And if that is you, though, and you want prayer, please come up after the service. You know, there's times where God will speak something very specifically for a person and will highlight one person in the midst of a congregation like this, because he still speaks today, and also he does want to reach out to us individually at times. And so if that's you, yeah, please consider coming up.